Let's pray before we begin our study. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav vetzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Tonight is the first night of Pesach, of Passover, and it's also Erev Shabbat, and many people in our congregation are together at home tonight having Seder together on this first night, and tomorrow many will gather in homes for Seder on the second night of Passover. Interestingly, a number of my Christian friends are celebrating Passover this year too. The Christian tradition of Maundy Thursday, Maundy Thursday commemorates the Last Supper, which was a Passover Seder. And several pastor friends this week told me about the Maundy Thursday Seders that they were leading for their churches. And they were actually celebrating a Seder a little bit early on the Jewish schedule, but doing fine for their traditions. And it's part of a growing trend in the Christian world to celebrate Passover. And this may explain what happened to some of you this year. You went to Publix and some of the other grocery stores and you couldn't find matzah. They ran out of matzah. And I think they've been figuring that only the Jews are going to be eating matzah. And something's happening. Matzah consumption is going up. Inventory has not been steady. It's been insufficient. So I even went to one Publix this year that, in trying to make up for the missing Passover matzah, has every kind of non-Passover matzah known to man, figuring that people just buy it instead. You can get whole wheat matzah, poppy seed and onion matzah. You know, the one thing you cannot get is matzah that tastes really good. That's hard to get. Well, we are here tonight on Erev Shabbat, this first night of Passover, to remember God's Passover victories that are on our behalf. And the question is, why do we celebrate Passover? If you have a Bible with you, you can open up to Exodus chapter 13, verse 8. Which anticipates that if you celebrate Passover and you celebrate it at home, which is the biblical and the Jewish custom, that your children will say to you, why do you do this? And here's the answer. Here's the first part of an answer that you're to give. Exodus 13, verse 8. It says, you're to tell your son, and you also are to tell your daughter too on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Let's say that together, phrase by phrase. I'll say it, a phrase, you repeat it. It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Okay, now look at that person sitting nearby you, smile at them and say, you came out of Egypt. You came out of Egypt. And then tell them, I came out of Egypt. I came out of Egypt. You thought you came from somewhere else. Passover is important to me because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. If you're having a Seder on the second night of Passover, make sure you tell the children present that God did something for you. And if you don't have children present, make sure you tell the other adults. In fact, the Jewish tradition is you can't leave the Passover Seder until you feel like it was you who was delivered by God on Passover. Tell those attending that God brought you out of Egypt. He brought you out of slavery. He brought you into freedom. Exodus chapter 10, just a few chapters earlier, verse 2 says this. The Lord says, keep the Passover so that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I, the Lord, dealt strongly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs and miracles among them. And, this is very interesting, and so that you may know that I am the Lord. See, Jewish traditions are wonderful. Biblical traditions are wonderful. But they point to a purpose And we have to pay attention to the purpose. One of the purposes of celebrating Passover in your home with a Seder is so that you can give an explanation to your children, to your family, of God's place in your life and your place in His world. And it's also so that you will have a time where you draw closer to the Lord and think more clearly about Him and open up your heart more to Him. So Passover helps us know not only that there is a God, but He is the master of the universe. With a mighty outstretched arm, He brought us out. Exodus 13, verse 14. Giving your fingers some exercise. In days to come, when your child asks you, what does this mean, say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So let's practice that. I'll say it. I'll say a phrase, you repeat it. With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You see, God has a mighty hand. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to deliver. He's mighty to redeem. And when we celebrate Passover, we are remembering what God has done, what He's like, so that we can know Him now. Because even though we haven't seen plagues, He's not working quite that way right now, maybe in some places. But we do know this, God has a mighty hand. And God has the ability to save. He has the ability to pull people out of desperate situations, out of difficulties, out of distress. How many of you need a breakthrough? Does anyone here need a breakthrough? Well, Passover is the time when we are asking for breakthroughs. Lord, we ask for your breakthroughs. We ask for breakthroughs for jobs. Anyone need a job breakthrough? Let me pray for you. Lord, give your job breakthroughs to your children here. Does anyone need health breakthroughs? Lord, we ask for the outpouring of health. Everyone who needs a health breakthrough, stand up. I want to pray for you right now. Lord, for all those who are standing right now, I ask for your mighty hand to be stretched forth, that you would stretch forth your hand with compassion to heal. We pray also for Karen Gray, for Russ Anderson, for Chris Dorman, for my wife Sandy Levine, for Janine Decker, and for others, that you would give breakthroughs in their bodies, in their physical being, that they would see the hand of God. Let your anointing go forth with compassion for healing. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Amen. When the children of Israel left Egypt, they walked out. They didn't call a cab. They didn't ride horses. They walked out on their own power. Even the sick were raised up and able to go out. None was left behind. Now, according to the original instruction in the Torah, there are three foods that must be eaten at Passover. Some people are confused in America, and they think there are four foods that must be consumed. I'll tell you what many American Jews think. You have to have matzah, horseradish, charoset, and Maxwell House coffee. And the reason is Maxwell House coffee, which roasts right here in downtown Jacksonville, they have been publishing a free Haggadah for years that is certified kosher, and it has been distributed through grocery stores to millions and millions of families. I believe 50 million copies have been distributed over the years. Let me read to you. I actually have a Maxwell House Haggadah for you to... It's good to the last drop, believe me. I want to read to you from an article by Joan Alpert that's in Moment magazine this month, and just a few lines. It says, when it first appeared in 1934, free with the purchase of a can of coffee. Do you get that? Free with the purchase of a can of coffee. The Maxwell House Haggadah swiftly revolutionized how American Jews celebrated Passover. Until the coffee company moved into publishing, Haggadahs were fluid in text and format. There are many different kinds of Haggadahs. Local custom rule liturgy, says Rabbi Burton L. Vysotsky, a Jewish theological seminary professor. And he says, Maxwell House did more to codify Jewish liturgy than any force in history. Is that amazing? I have posted a link to that article at my Facebook page, so you can read the whole thing online. It's actually very interesting. So many Jewish people think that there are four foods that you have to eat. But in fact, there are three foods which we're told to eat at Passover. And in the traditional Haggadah, including the Maxwell House Haggadah, it's mentioned that Rabbi Hillel used to eat all three foods at once. And the way he actually did it is different than American Jewish custom is today. And if you have the Maxwell House Haggadah, you can follow along with me. I've got the 2009 edition. I don't know if they've updated it since then. I don't think a lot's changed since 2009 when it comes to Passover. Page 27, there is a section of the Haggadah called Korech, and it comes after you eat the matzah and the bitter herbs, then you eat the Korech. And let me read to you what it says are the instructions. Break the bottom matzah and distribute it with some bitter herbs dipped in cheroset. You know, cheroset is, in America, cheroset is made with what fruit? Apples, that's right, apples, some nuts, some cinnamon, some wine, very tasty, maybe a little bit of honey if you need it. But do you know in the Mediterranean area, it's not made with apples. They make it with what?
Dates.
With dates, that's right. With dates and sometimes raisins. And it is a sticky, gooey, delicious spread. So tasty, so sweet, you can't eat too much of it or you will get sugarlepsy and pass out. But it is absolutely delicious and completely different than Ashkenazi Eastern European Jewish recipes. But according to the Maxwell House Haggadah, which according to page 2 is certified kosher. Don't eat it, that's not what it means. And Maxwell House coffee is certified kosher for Passover. I'm not promoting Maxwell House per se, even though they are an excellent corporate citizen of Jacksonville, now owned by Kraft. Did you know that? But I'm trying to draw your attention to Jewish experience and Jewish ways of thinking. And so at the time of the blessing and the reading regarding the Korach, the tradition is you take a piece of matzah, you take some bitter herbs. What's the classic American bitter herb? Horseradish. And then you put cheroset on that and you make a Hillel sandwich and you eat it. So that's the tradition. So you can understand why many Jewish people think what you must eat is matzah, bitter herbs, and cheroset. However, cheroset is just a salad that happened to make its way into the Jewish meal because you've got to eat something. And you've got to have some fruit to go along with it. And the actual passage about the Korach has no mention of cheroset. You know what it mentions instead? The two foods, of course, matzah and bitter herbs. But you know what the other food that is mentioned in the Korach is? Lamb. So it's actually the tradition of Rabbi Hillel, who's cited here, to take a piece of lamb, a piece of matzah and some bitter herbs, and to eat it together and to have what we now call a Hillel sandwich. It's open-faced, generally, but quite delicious. And the English translation in Maxwell House's Haggadah follows along with the translation in many other English Haggadahs. It said, thus did Hillel, during the existence of the Holy Temple, he took unleavened bread and bitter herbs and ate them together in order to perform, as the Torah says, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs you shall eat it. The Hebrew actually has the missing word about the it. Do you know what the it is? It's the Pesach lamb. You're to eat that. So Ashkenazi Jews, you know, Eastern European Jews, generally think that you should not eat lamb at Passover. However, many Sephardim, Jews who came from Spanish-speaking countries, and many Mizrahi Jews, those who came from Arab countries, they still eat lamb at Passover. So it's often amusing to have Jews together who come from different parts of the world because they have different customs and different understandings, different rules and regulations. For instance, Ashkenazi Jews would not eat certain corn products, so you would not have Coca-Cola with corn syrup in it for Passover. So you know what? There is a kosher for Passover Coca-Cola. And do you know what they put in it to sweeten it? Cane sugar. So you have to pay a little extra. $4.99 a six-pack to get that. Others will eat rice. Ashkenazis won't. So it's interesting. You could theoretically be at a Seder with people from three different parts of the world, and they would eat differently and allow themselves to eat differently from the same table. Well, let me tell you the truth about me, can I? I don't include the egg on the Seder plate, but I do offer lamb, and we actually eat lamb. We don't just point to the lamb. There's a common Jewish tradition to have a shank bone. In fact, you can go to the grocery stores this week and you can buy shank bones. They cut off that shank and they sell it to Jewish people at an exorbitant price. The part of the lamb that has almost nothing to eat, that is relatively useless, we pay a premium for. And there's one other way the grocery stores take advantage of us poor Jewish people. When we're buying horseradish. If you want to buy the root yourself and not just buy the grated stuff, I prefer the root, I don't know about you, they make you buy this big piece that's enough for about 24 years, if it kept that long. And they don't want to sell little pieces. You know, like, can I have, you know, I only have, you know, a dozen, 24 people coming. Can I just get a small amount? No, you have to get enough for 150. That's the way we sell it. But I don't serve the egg because the egg actually is not connected to any of the practices that we read about in the scriptures. And I think the egg at Passover is a little bit like Easter eggs. And if you like Easter eggs, you'll love Passover eggs. But for me, it's really important to stay simple and to stay focused. And that is why we do serve lamb and we eat lamb at our Passover. For me as a Messianic Jew, Passover is useful in several different ways. First, it helps me remember all that we read about earlier in Exodus, about the historic Exodus from Egypt and the way that God worked at that time. And it helps me make that experience my own. And second, it helps me in my identity. I am a Jew. My mother was Jewish, my father was Jewish, their parents were Jewish. I was raised a Jew and I am still a Jew. And it's our heritage to celebrate Passover. And it helps us to develop our sense of belonging to one another, to our Jewish families, to our greater Jewish people, and to the Jewish community as well. And the third aspect for me about Passover that makes it useful is it helps me understand what Yeshua was doing on his last Passover. He was having Passover, and that's why he told his disciples to go and prepare the Passover for him. And his Seder, if you will, influences me. And it helps me be certain about one thing. Yeshua and his disciples not only maintained their Jewish identity, but they maintained a Jewish lifestyle. It's one thing to say, I am a Jew. It's another thing to live in a way that's consistent with that identity. And it helps me as a Messianic Jew not forget that I am a Jew. My faith in Messiah does not reduce or eliminate or contradict my Jewishness. In fact, it enhances my Jewishness. Well, it turns out there's a growing trend among Christians celebrating Passover. In fact, a traditional rabbi, not Messianic, has co-authored a Haggadah for Christians. And this is also mentioned in Moment magazine, and on my Facebook page you can find a link if you want to read the article. So let me read to you just a few lines from the article by Simi Rome Reimer. And it says this: Passover is no longer just the domain of Jews, but also of Christians, who are, according to Rabbi Rami Shapiro, a comparative religions professor at Middle State Tennessee University, and co-author of Let Us Break Bread Together, a Passover Haggadah for Christians. It is also for Christians who are seeking a closer connection to Jesus as a man and as a Jew. And he says, the practice of seders is a growing phenomenon. Christians are really interested in the seder meal, and churches are trying to give their members a sense of what it was like during the life of Jesus. Now, if they want to go all the way, I would recommend they not use electricity. Well, this is part of a trend that has some very interesting potential. The positive side is that it connects Christians to both the Jewishness of Jesus, and it can help build Christian appreciation for the Jewish people too. And the other positive side, it connects Jewish people somehow to the Jewishness of Jesus. This rabbi, who is a professor, is now, you know, one of the co-authors of a Haggadah for Christians, and he's thinking about how Christians and how Jews can connect to each other, perhaps in ways that he had not before. I read something on his webpage that said, my first language is Judaism, but I speak other languages too. Well, there is an extraordinary reassessment going on in the Jewish world about the nature, the reality of Jesus, who we know as Yeshua. And there's also a reassessment going on in the Christian world, but let me focus on the Jewish world if I can, because I think it, as I mentioned in the last few weeks, this is reflected so well in the provocative new book by the Talmud scholar Daniel Bayarin, who's a professor at Berkeley. And his book is entitled The Jewish Gospels, The Story of the Jewish Christ. It's going to be the subject of a four-week class I'll begin on Tuesday night this coming week. And I'll take you through the book and the provocative ideas that Professor Bayarin is communicating, including these three main ideas. That the idea of God being both Father and Son is an ancient Jewish tradition. That's one. The idea of Messiah being divine, coming down from heaven, suffering in order to atone for our sins and to bring us healing for our sicknesses, that too, he says, is an ancient Jewish tradition. And that the reason that so many Jewish people believe that Jesus was the Messiah is because he was exactly what they were expecting, what they were waiting for. And so when he came, they said, that's the one who we were looking for. Well, our classroom space is limited. You'll need to have the book by the second class to read it and to keep up. We are going to record the classes and make them available as a CD series that you can purchase. The class will begin this Tuesday night, April 10th at 6 p.m. It will run from 6 to 7 p.m. for 4 weeks, and we'll be meeting in our Talmudim classroom right near the front door. Well, let's close by thinking about Yeshua as the Lamb of God. He is what you would say in Hebrew, Se HaElohim. Say that with me. Se HaElohim. The Lamb of God. And he is the Lamb of God in two ways. He is the Passover Lamb, whose blood marks us as faithful believers in God. And he is the Lamb sacrificed to atone for our sins and to bring us healing. As you're celebrating Passover this year, eat matzah every day. If you are on our mail list and our email list, you will get an email from me tomorrow encouraging you to eat matzah. And then on the second day, you'll get another one. And it just asks the question, have you had your matzah today? And gives you a little scripture. So eat your matzah every day. And every day remember the way that God delivered all of us from slavery in Egypt. And every day remember how God is delivering us from the power of sin and death through the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for all of us here tonight and for all who are listening by podcast that the Lord would grant to each one of us the blessings of Passover. Lord, may you show your mighty hand to each of us. Reveal your power, Lord, to save us, to deliver us, to heal us. Show us your goodness and your redemptive power, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a Passover week of freedom and renewal for each one of us. In Yeshua's name, amen. So let's close with Aaron's blessing. We will not have an oneg tonight. We're all taking a break. Gather together. No one stand alone. Thank you, Chris, for joining me. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Seha Elohim, the Lamb of God. Amen.